The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Hour 1 Podcast.
And good afternoon. Welcome to the middle of the week, and we begin with some breaking news from Washington. You've heard coaches, administrators talk about leaning on Congress to help out with NIL, and today we begin with a former coach turned United States senator who is pushing a congressional movement to help with NIL regulation. Former coach Tommy Tuberville joining up with West Virginia Democrat Joe Manchin, trying to figure out a way to tame the landscape of NIL. You've heard coaches talk about it, and now let's find out more from one of the key people involved in Washington, D.C., former Auburn coach Tommy Tuberville, now a United States senator, about to be the senior senator from Alabama. Coach, it's great to have you with us, and we're all pretty eager to hear what has been going on in Washington, especially on this issue, and if anything can be done. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul, and welcome with all your followers to Washington, D.C., which is very unusual. I would hope that we would not have to get involved in this discussion. I've talked to a lot of my friends across the country, athletic directors, commissioners, coaches, players. I've had people in my office talking about this, and you really don't want the federal government involved in this, but it looks like we've got to the point, Paul, where we're going to have to get involved, because a couple of things. We want to make it even for everybody. We want to give everybody an opportunity and a chance to compete. I'm all for the student athlete. You know, if they want to make money, I'm fine with that. I've always been for doing as much as we possibly a fair way. And also, we want to keep education involved in it. This is about getting an education for the future, or for all these young men and women. This is not just about football. This is about all college athletics. So Joe Manchin and I sat down, Paul, several times over the last year, talked about this. The Commerce Committee got involved to some degree. They couldn't work anything out. You've got people who have all kind of opinions. Some people have asked me about it, but that really wasn't in my realm. I was going to stay out of it. But now it's gotten to the point, Paul, where we need to do something. And we need to help the NCAA. We need to help college athletics. And I think we can, but we're going to do it only with the help of athletic directors, presidents, students, athletes, associations, coaches, anybody that's involved in it, we're going to get their input. So what you're referring to is we sent out a letter, Joe Manchin and myself, that we want to help and that we want feedback from a lot of different people that we sent these letters to. And we're going to take the month of August and sit down and visit with them and try to figure out a way forward to make this even and as close to possible so everybody can be competitive and not just a few.
Coach, you understand that not because of anything you've said, but just the overall idea that you alluded to, that Congress is going to bail anyone out, let alone college sports, is getting a lot of eye rolls across the country. But what can be done is the ultimate question here. And how long does it take? Would it take?
Well, here's the ultimate problem. You've got the NCAA that controls college sports. Right now, they are up to their ears and eyeballs in lawsuits, and I don't think they want to take another step forward until they get a lot of things cleared up. And so this situation with the transfer portal and the NIL that the Supreme Court ruled on a year or so ago is really, and maybe not gotten out of hand, it just hadn't been controlled the way it should have been. Now, in the past, NCAA made the rules, everybody went by it. But now, the Supreme Court has stepped in. Every state's pretty much doing their own thing. And there's no common rules. There's no set rules or goals how we get to a point where we can keep college sports the way that's fair for everybody. Again, for athletes, for fans, for administration, and for the student athlete to make sure they get an education. So what we can do in the federal level is we can tell each state, this is a federal law. These are the guidelines that we're going to go by. And again, we don't want to overstep our bounds. We're not going to get real deep in the weeds. We're going to try to do as little as possible to where we can ensure that everybody's got something to go by when they say, can I do this or can I do that? And put everybody on the same level instead of everybody kind of shooting from the hip, Paul, and making their own rules and regulations. If we continue to do this, we're going to lose college athletics as you and I have grown up and knowing, and we love it, and it's the going thing. And again, we don't want to ruin that popularity and also take education out of the students' lives.
Senator Tuberville, you talked about not overstepping your boundaries or your ability, but in your world, and we all know who you are and what you've done, you know the sport inside and out. You're a National Coach of the Year. You're an SEC champ. You should have played for a national championship. What specifically can be done to correct what many of your friends and colleagues in coaching view as legalized cheating?
Well, we can set up the rules for what you're talking about. And again, there's no set thing as we speak, Paul. We're just doing an investigation on what people actually think they can do. After now, we've gone through a year or so of everybody doing what they want to do. Again, I've heard from people that have had great recruiting classes that have said, Coach, we got to have some kind of guidelines. We can't keep doing this. It's going to ruin the college sports. So I don't yet know, other than I've talked to some commissioners and some coaches. They're all reaching out saying, just point us in the right direction. Give us an opportunity to at least try to do this. Now, I've got several senators up here over the past that said we need to unionize college athletics. We need to take the proceeds from whatever is gained from college sports and give it back to the students. There's a lot of things that they want to try to do. We just hadn't got anything written in stone or really tried to pass with everybody. So what we'll do, Paul, is Joe Manchin and I will take all this information. We will try to set some guidelines. Again, not overstep our bounds, not try to deter anybody making any money in student athletes. We want to try to help with the transfer portal and try to make it fair. You know, you can't really build a team right now because you don't know who you're going to have each year. We do not want this to be the NBA or the NFL. That I don't think anybody wants any part of that. And so we need to do as much as we possibly can to get the right information and put that information together and try to get it to the Senate floor. And Joe Manchin, being a Democrat, him trying to get a majority of his people on his side to vote for it, and then the same thing on the Republican side. It takes 60 votes to pass anything in the Senate. So we'll take it and run with it and see what we can do. And the timeline on this, Paul, is going to be hopefully, it's like crawling up here. You know, there's no sprint to anything, but we could possibly get it done maybe by the end of football season this year or maybe at the beginning of the year, but we can't make any promises. And then when we do get this drawn up, Paul, we might have a lot of objection here on the Hill that people say, some of these senators say, we just don't want to do it that way. And that's their prerogative, but it takes 60 votes and we'll have to do a lot of lobbying to get this done, you know, Joe Manchin and myself, if we can come up with the right things that we can agree on.
Coach, we all know what Nick Saban said back in May, and we all know how he feels about this. You know that state as the coach at Auburn, and you only beat Alabama six straight years, so you know the rivalry. Joe Manchin is one of Nick Saban's boyhood friends, so I'm sure from a distance some people are looking at this and go, Nick Saban called his old childhood buddy and his senator from his own state and said, bail me out. How would you respond to those who believe that Nick Saban's fingerprints are all over this?
Well, Nick Saban's called. He's called me several times. called Joe Manchin several times, but there's a lot of other coaches, Paul, that's called. There are a lot of other commissioners called. I've had presidents sitting in my office where I'm at right now pretty much begging for help. They're begging for guidance because, you know, when you've got an institution like the NCAA, they're your guiding light. And when they won't make a decision on anything, then everything kind of stays in a state of unknown. And so I guess, you know, it's come to us. And we are the ones up here that can, I don't know whether it's called dictating, but we can put a law to where each state has to do the same thing. And if we can get that done, if we can get something that we feel like that's going to help college sports, I'm all for it because I don't want to lose what we have. You know, the cat's out of the bag for the money. Hey, I've always been good with that. But there's got to be a way that we can put guidelines in terms of when you can do it, when you can't do it. We don't want to put a limit on any amount of money. That's not what we're here for. We're here to, again, just put some guidelines together to help all these coaches, administrators, and fans kind of understand that, you know, we can do it the right way if everybody's on the same page. Right now, everybody's going in all different directions.
And you alluded to it, and I know you've got to go because there's a lot happening in Washington right now other than what we're interested on this program. But you don't want to put a cap on players, but you know players, and you were a player's coach, Coach Tuberville. But I'm sure young players right now are watching this and go, why is everybody trying to stop us now from making money where you made millions of dollars as a head coach at Auburn and Cincinnati and Texas Tech? Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher and Kirby Smart are cracking $10, $11 million. Why can't they have theirs? And why does Congress need to get involved? I'm sure that's something you've thought about.
No, we're not. That's not what we're in this for, Paul. We're in this to make sure everybody has the opportunity to have the guidelines of the direction to go in this. Hey, there's no way that we want to get involved in determining how much anybody can make. As you said, I'm a player's, always been a player's coach. You know, it's the only time I used to tell my players, the only time in your life you'll ever have two full-time jobs. Being a college athlete and a college student is hard because you have zero time in which to do anything because you're training and then your preparation, your studying, the tutoring, all the things you have to go through. It's a tough time. A lot of people don't understand that. And again, I'm not for people making money. I want kids to make money. And again, that's going to happen. We're not getting in the way of that. We just want to get guidelines pretty much in terms of what coaches do, how they do it, when they do it, why they do it, and give everybody the same opportunities at the same time instead of doing things that others can't do, but they can do to make it easier for them to recruit a player. So, again, there's a lot of water's got to go underneath the bridge, Paul, between now and the time we could possibly finish this, but it's a start, and we need to start. We can't wait any longer. If we feel like we can come up with something, I think that we can sell it up here on the Hill. We can get it done, and if we can a little bit easier for student athletes, coaches, and fans, we need to do it. And we need to do it for all 50 states at one time.
Senator, we'll let you get back to your normal job, and we appreciate very much you sharing the information with us. It's always good to see you.
All right, Paul, let's talk again here in a couple of months, and we'll have an update for you.
We look forward to it. Thank you very much. Senator Tommy Tuberville joining us from the Russell Building in Washington, D.C., where he just announced that he and Joe Manchin, arguably the most influential senator in D.C. right now, are taking their shot at bailing out what the NCAA never could do, save this NIL bill from going to every individual state. That's not all that we have today to share with you. It's going to be a busy 4 hours when you begin in Washington, and we will talk to many guests, including Seth Emerson, on an extraordinary piece he did. Howard Bryant on one of the most important sports desks in many, many years. Chris Doering on the SEC season and your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Well, it always happens. Nick Saban puts the best possible spin on a disappointing national runner-up appearance. Remember, a couple of years ago, we talked about a bowl game loss was basically a practice game. Now, he has described the 21 season as a rebuilding year. Meanwhile, Anthony Davis, one of the greats in a long line of phenomenal Kentucky players, part of the last national championship for Calipari, donated $350,000 and just a tremendous contribution by Anthony Davis. Vin Scully, arguably the most influential voice of any major sport, has passed away. He was 94 years old. He retired a couple of years ago, but has been as important a part of Major League Baseball as anyone in its history. The voice of the Brooklyn Dodgers, and of course, since the late 50s, the voice of the Los Angeles Dodgers. And speaking of the voice of an important program, Eli Gold announced today that he is stepping away from the microphone, at least for the beginning of the season, although there is no confirmation of when he is scheduled to return. This was announced by the university today. The legendary voice. He has been the voice of the Tide since the late 80s. And an indelible, if not irreplaceable, voice. He will, at least for now, be replaced by Chris Stewart. We don't know much more to pass along. As all of you know, we have spoken many, many times with Eli over these years, and he's. It's hard to imagine a more iconic voice in modern SEC history. So I feel like I speak for everyone who is just learning of this news that our sincerest prayers go out to Eli for a recovery. And as soon as we know more information, we will update you. So back to the show. Big start today with Senator Tuberville, and we'll get your reaction to that. 855-242-7285 is our number. And let's start with Eddie, who is in Florida. Hello, Eddie.
Paul, how you doing, brother?
Eddie, we're doing great. Thank you.
Hey, man, thank you for that interview and with Tuberville. I wish those guys luck, but we know how our Congress in D.C. works. We might not get anything done. And big up prayers to my man, Eli Gold. Hopefully, Paul, we'll get him back before the end of the season. Paul, I got four things real quick. Paul, you had a guy, you got a paralegal from LSU, gumbo-eating paralegal. What is his name? Go by the name Augie. Paul, he came on and predicted that the death of Nick Saban is going to be NIL, right? I hope Augie remember that, because I don't think that's going to be the case. Dumbo Fisher from Texas A&M wanted us to believe last year that he didn't pay players. Hey, Paul, let me explain something to you. As 2023 sits right now, Alabama is currently the number one recruiting class. I don't even see Texas A&M on the map. So apparently these kids are not going to Texas A&M, according to Jimbo, because if they were, they'd be committing like crazy. Dumb Darryl, Georgia. Paul, Darryl said that Nick Saban, being that they won the championship, Nick Saban wouldn't be able to pull any talent out of Georgia. But while Kirby Smart, Paul, was redoing his contract, Nick Saban was in his helicopter plucking five stars out of Georgia. So never underestimate, Paul, the GOAT. And one last thing, Paul, crystal ball. KJ, this is for you, my man. If you think crystal ball is going to stay in Miami, you got another thing coming. Bama just putting him on layaway for when Nick Saban retires. Hey, Paul, great show. I love your show, man. Roll damn Tide.
Pat is up next in Georgia. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Paul. Thanks. What a gift for a sports talk show host. Tommy Tuberville.
I think I alluded to this a couple of weeks ago, and maybe some of you missed it. I was in D.C. recently, and I was able to get by and see a couple of people, including Tuberville. And forget the political part of it, because that's not what we do here. But listening to Tommy Tuberville sitting in the Russell office building across the street from the Capitol, talking about college football unfiltered, was one of the most enjoyable things I've ever done. You had to talk politics, and we talked about the NIL, and he did alert me to what he and Manchin were doing here. But he's got an opinion on everything in college football, Pat, and it's hilarious.
It really is, and not to mention Joe Manchin from West Virginia, who is right now probably as powerful
Nobody is in Manchin's league. Like him or not, and obviously he may be better liked by the Republicans than his own party at the moment, because he giveth and taketh away very quickly. But he and Tuberville have become very close friends. Manchin, grew up playing football with Nick Saban, and naturally gravitates to those who know ball.
Yes, I'm sure you've heard the comment, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
Yeah, right.
I can't help but think about that when we're talking about Washington making rules to get parity in all of this. It's probably not going to happen. There's a lot of things that would have to happen before then. And if they were to pass something, you've got the reserve clause, which basically says if it ain't reserved in the Constitution for the federal government, then it's a state's right. And certainly you're going to have interstate commerce.
There's so many issues. And, he alluded to meeting with some of the commissioners. There were some commissioners up there the same day I was. I understand their frustration, and you do too, but Congress, the people that could have solved this problem refused to deal with it. So my question back to you, Pat, since the NCAA wouldn't deal with it, since the conferences wouldn't deal with it, now suddenly they're going to Congress for help?
Well, no, not really. And it'll provide some entertainment for us, and people will call in, but it's not going to go anywhere anytime soon, if at all. Let me change the subject very quickly. Last week we talked about the beginning of the season neutral site bowl games, and I don't know if I just misheard what you said and maybe the tone in your voice. But do you have an issue for the person at or with the person at Chick-fil-A that puts together all of their neutral site bowl games, did I pick up on something there, or if you care to mention that?
No, I don't have issue with anyone. What I have issue with, Pat, are the games. I just think they've played out. That's my only issue. But thanks for the call. We're up against a break. We went a little bit long with Senator Tuberville. We will catch up with all of you right after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Well, yeah, welcome back. We began with an interview with a United States senator, and now we're back to your phone calls. And let's check in with Eric, who is up next. Good afternoon, Eric.
Hey, how you doing?
Eric, we are doing well. Thank you.
I'm Eric Briggs from Greenwood, South Carolina.
Yes, sir.
And I wanted to tell Paul how big of an influence he's been on me. He's done a lot for me, and I learned a lot from him because when I first started watching, I hated Paul. I hated him. I'd hate him. And the kids would run through the house and say, Mama, what's wrong with Daddy? She'd say, Paul found on, done pissed him off again. And anyway, the more and more I started listening to Paul, I said, I like this dude. I mean, I really like this man, you know, and that taught me to don't jump to conclusions on people. You know what I mean? Listen to all they got to say. And now I got patience more, you know what I mean? And he's a good guy.
Well, hey, Eric, well, this is the person you're talking about here that you're speaking to. So let me ask you a question. What was there about what I said or did in the past that upset you so much?
That's your job, is to piss people off.
By the way, you are correct about that.
Yeah. So, you know, the more and more, you know, I listened to you, I was like, I like this man, you know, because mm-hmm. you started taking up for Clemson. You're about what's right, you know, and you just taught me to, you know, to listen to people, have patience. Listen to the whole story before you jump to conclusions about people and all that. And I started out hating you, but now I love you. You know, the kids, Mama, what's wrong with Daddy? Paul done pissed him off again, you know. But I couldn't take my eyes off of you, though. And like I said, I just got more patience, you know, with my kids, my wife, everybody. So you changed my life a lot.
Well, I can't
get credit for that.
I can't tell you how much that means to all of us. And you know what? If you ever see me slacking off and just kind of going along with the crowd, you call me up and straighten me out, okay?
Okay, I got one more story for you. Me and my son was watching a game, a Clemson game.
Right.
He was by 8, and a flag. They threw a flag, and they said, personal foul. My son looked at me and said, if it's so personal, why are they telling everybody?
That's great. That's fantastic. How old is your son, Eric?
He's 25 now. He lives in Spartanburg, and he's a supervisor at Milliken. He's doing real good. I got a grandson, Brody Briggs. He's doing great.
Well, we're all doing better because of your call. You call again, Eric. Thanks very much. And I'm glad to see that somebody respects.
Hey, listen, man. I don't even know how I feel about you. You know that. It's amazing. You got all these people calling telling you how you done touched their life. You done touched mine, too. I just don't know how.
I can tell you how, because what I did for you, Jerome, is personal. I brought you and your wife back together again.
Man, get out of here with that damn fool.
I mean, your wife had to call this show because you were in mourning over Alabama losing a football game.
With that little bit right there. Kick rocks with that little bit. Listen to me, man. You're going to start off a damn show. You know what? I know why. You piss me off a lot of times. That's why I listen to you. You know what? Quick as I hear him say, call Paul, my damn blood pressure go up. You hear me? Because the very first damn thing you're going to do is Tuberville. You hear me? He going to tell me he's going to spend the whole month of damn August talking to somebody about a damn, trying to put some regulations. He needs to spend the whole month of damn August talking to all these damn businesses around here, telling them to raise up their damn pay so people can keep up with the damn inflation. You hear me? That's what he need to do. And then, you know what? And then you're going to have a nurse that's going, listen, this nigga can say whatever he want to say, man. You hear me? If he said it was a rebuilding year, Firebomb, it was a rebuilding year. You hear me? And for you to damn poke jokes and disrespect, look, nigga, you know what? I don't like that little bit, Firebomb. I don't like that little bit at all.
Well, you know what? You know what, Jerome?
What?
Do you think?
You really care? Is that what you're going to tell me?
See, you don't understand.
So you know, you should have said it like I said, Firebomb.
If I said it like I intended to say it, I wouldn't be here tomorrow.
Well, you'll get another job. You know what? They love you, little big head. You full of foolishness. But look, like I told you, that nigga can say what he wants to, Paul. You hear me? He been doing
well,
but Jerome,
you know what it sounds like,
what?
Though. It sounds like the guy got his backside kicked in by Kirby Smart, and he's now doing what he always does, and that's make excuses.
Well, guess what? He can do it. He started making them in what, 08, 09, when he started whooping ass and losing? Listen, he can do it. He's there every year. He got staying power, Paul. See, we know little Nick is going to be there ready to whoop.
Well, but why can't Nick Saban say today what he said after the game to Kirby Smart? Remember what he said on the field? He said you guys kicked our ass in the fourth quarter.
Well,
all of a sudden, that didn't happen in Nick Saban's world.
Well, it didn't. It didn't. Oh, he should have
wide receivers weren't there. It was a rebuilding year. It was a practice game.
Team.
We'd already won the. I mean, come on. I mean, you know, I don't want to poke the bear here because he's the goat.
Oh,
and,
man, you can't poke no damn
but
bear.
I mean, Nick. But Nick Saban has been down this highway a few times about rewriting
the
past.
We've been down it, so we know what to do. We have been.
The guy can't admit that somebody got the better of him. And why do you think that is?
That's okay, man. That's okay. LSU got the best of it. They gone. Clemson got the best of it. They gone. Ohio State got the best of them. They gone. You hear me? Georgia got the best of them. They gonna be gone.
I mean, Jerome. One day, pretty soon, this is all going to go away, and Saban's going to move on.
Go away. That's what y'all hope. Listen,
No. Why would we hope that?
Let me tell you something. That's what you hope and think. But I'm gonna tell you something. When the nigga hang them cleats up, he's just gonna put somebody else in there, and we're gonna be falling down there on the tier with y'all. You hear me? On the tier with y'all as y'all claim. We'll give y'all a fair shot then. You hear me? Take that then. But right now, let niggas see it out. He ain't going no
Jerome,
damn
Jerome, I got news for you, now. Jerome. After he moves on, you better hope you get somebody important, somebody good, because Kirby's loaded for bear, Jimbo.
Man, tell me something. Kirby ain't getting them a damn 19 damn defensive four stars, man. You hear me? He's got lucky. That's all he did. He can't even get a damn offensive skill player. You want me to be scared of damn Kirby? Man, I don't give a damn about Kirby. You hear me? I don't give a damn about Ohio State. I don't give a damn about Clemson. All I'm going to tell you is roll damn tide, baby. Have a good damn day. Period.
We'll take a break. Been a busy 45 minutes with the senator and Jerome. Jerome would make a good senator, wouldn't he?
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we begin. It's been a quiet day until Jerome opened his trap. Let's continue with Larry and Shelby.
That's right, Paul. Jerome's right. Y'all ain't nothing but coneheads. That's how y'all, Paul, you're just a conehead.
A conehead? Whatever happened to our friendship? I mean, we were friends yesterday. What's wrong?
Roll Tide's what happened. That's what happened. You went out.
No, Larry, that's not what happened. It's the fact that your coach once again started making excuses.
No, he ain't made no excuses, Paul Feinbaum. He's in the state of Georgia plucking five stars, and I ain't heard that moron.
Hey, Larry, are you aware that Kirby Smart has come to Alabama and t- taking a few recruits out of there?
Yeah,
or is that not reported in AL.com land?
Yeah, after he stole our book and got all our players' names and
that was like 2017. Was a long time ago.
He's probably got spies.
That was actually 2016, I think.
He's probably got spies inside Bama. That's just like Alabama's number one, Paul, in recruiting. And we're gonna stay that way. We're on a revenge.
Larry, does that make you feel better to repeat that? Like we're number one in, is that where Alabama football is right now? You gotta start bragging about being number one in recruiting?
No, that's just the first step. The other step is putting our foot up in Kirby Smart's rear endo, putting our foot so far up in his rear endo. You know what I mean?
No, I don't know what you mean.
You know what I mean. Dale will know. All them Georgia Conehead fans will know. They'll be crying and weeping. Just like
hey, Larry, do me a favor, okay, will you? Will you repeat? I want you to repeat after me.
I'm going to do you a favor.
Georgia, can you do this? Just a couple. Larry, repeat after me. Georgia.
I ain't repeating nothing after you.
Georgia kicked.
I don't repeat after Conehead.
Georgia kicked. Third word is our. Can you do that for me?
I ain't saying not. Georgia got the ass kicked in the SEC championship. How about that, big boy?
That's, Larry, you're now a comedian. Is that what you're trying to be?
How about that, Conehead?
Georgia got. Georgia kicked. I got the wrong script here. Wait, okay, let me get this right. Georgia kicked our. Can you say that?
No, I can't say that. I can't.
Last year was a rebuilding year for Alabama.
Quit. Don't say that, Conehead. You know, we did. Look, man, we just had some players out. You know that.
Next thing you're going to tell me, you really, after you won the SEC, you really didn't care about the national championship. Is that Saban's next
lie? We got the damn end.
Why did Nick need another? I mean, he's already won seven. I mean, what's the difference?
That's right. Now you're talking. We ain't no big deal, man. We got them. We got them over with, Paul Feinbaum. That ain't those guys, and you know it. You know Saban sitting there at night just wringing his hands, wanting some more of that Georgia ass. He's going to get it, and we're going to stomp him.
So after you beat Georgia, you're going to get A&M too? Because remember, they beat you last year. Have you forgotten that?
We're going to kick Jumbo's Dumbo, man. We're going to kick his ass too. He's on revenge tour. He's on our revenge tour, and I'm going to tell Saban next time he sees you, kick your ass.
Oh, he probably will.
How about that, big boy?
He probably will.
I'm going to tell him kick your ass, big boy.
Larry, are you going to really sick Nick Saban after me? Is that what you're going to do to an old friend like me?
I'm going to tell Saban when he sees you again, kick your ass. That's what I'm going to tell him to do. And he'll do it.
He'll do it. I mean, what else? Why wouldn't he want to do that?
Yeah.
Larry, I sincerely doubt that Nick Saban would know my name if I ran into him on the street.
I seen y'all together, man.
But he doesn't know me. He probably confused me with Ryan McGee.
No.
He'd probably walk up to me and say, "Hey, Ryan, what are you and Marty doing this weekend?"
Do what?
Saban doesn't care about the media. You know that.
Yeah, he does.
There is nothing that I could do. Larry, there's nothing I could do that Nick Saban would give two rips about. He doesn't care about
you're
the media.
Right,
we know that. He doesn't
right
bother
for
him.
You.
He doesn't pay attention to it. He doesn't read it. He doesn't watch it. And he doesn't hear it from other people.
You're rat poison. That's what he said, and he was right. Y'all are rat poison. You're the biggest conehead rat poison spreader around. You are fine, Bob.
No, I resent that, Larry. I thought I was your friend, Larry.
No, you resemble that remark, rat poison. You resemble that remark, conehead. Yes, you do. And you really get me fired up by who you talking that trash about kicking our ass. I don't like that, Paul Feinbaum. I do not.
Repeat
like
after
that.
Me one more time, Larry. Georgia kicked our.
No, conehead. No, conehead. You there?
No, we're not here anymore. We will be back, though, right after this.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.